Hey everyone, welcome back to the Rock Church Podcast. My name is Shane Beeson and you are listening to the Rock Church in Scottsbluff, Nebraska. Thank you for joining us today. You are jumping in to our series titled Babylon. We're going through the book of Daniel. Some of you may have already been listening, but we are now in chapter 5. So we're going to dig into it, but first I'm going to introduce who's here at the table today.
Michael Erdman.
Angie Preston.
Jacob Krotzenberg.
Welcome back, Jacob. Jacob had an amazing trip in Israel. The past week or so. And so we're actually going to do a podcast following our mission Sunday at the end of March where we can actually dig into that more. So that'll be awesome.
Yeah.
Be looking forward to that. But as I just mentioned, we are in the book of Daniel. We just went through chapter 5 last Sunday, and we're going to dig into that a little bit more. I'm wondering, I'll start with you, Pastor Mike. We'll go around the table. What stood out to you? What's stirring in you about this portion of Scripture? Let's kind of begin to unpack this.
Yeah, it's a unique section. You kind of said it on Sunday. It's just one short little blip of Belshazzar's life, and he didn't do very well. And as it says, you have been weighed and found wanting.
Yeah.
But it just points out the severity of abusing the things of God. And we know that the temple was set aside and holy for that period of time, and that the temple now is different. It's us. But he is partying and being crazy, and I'm gonna really go above and show how powerful I am and desecrate these things that my grandfather brought back, and we're gonna party in God's things. And God's like, yeah, that's it. We're done.
You know, that I just gotta interject because something's hitting me super hard, which is if we are the temple of the Lord now and we are to be consecrated, what are we doing in our life that is so similar to what Belshazzar did with the items of God in this? Like, when we're living a life of debauchery, how are we to call ourselves a temple of God or a the place for him to inhabit if we're living a life that's in parallel to like some of these things? That's something to be talked about, because
that's serious. And it goes into all the things that we read about in the New Testament. And the biggest one is the sexual immorality and the way that we are abusing the covenant of marriage.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that.
Yeah. And I mean, because we live in a day just like I was actually thinking about this morning, like we were saying, hey, we are Babylon.
Mm-hmm.
We're this weird mix of Babylon, of Greek, of Roman culture, of Persia, the Median culture, or the media, the nation. We're like this weird hodgepodge of built upon, but look at what's happening in our day with sexual immorality and how twisted it is. And I was thinking today of like, man, I was looking at some stuff and I'm like, we're Sodom and Gomorrah. We are 100% what God would have destroyed in that time. And it's crazy the mercy that's been given to us because of the believers of God in an area. But yeah, sexual immorality, and we have that in the story in chapter 5. That's what's going on. I said this on Sunday, but there's almost like a code. See, the Bible writes it in a way that's very, I'll say, G-rated. But there's code. So when Belshazzar essentially wants to get drunk in front of the thousands and they bring in concubines, so on and so forth, this is you used the word earlier, like...
it's like a rave.
A rave, and close your ears, kids, but like an orgy, like sort of environment. It's
let's just get crazy and do whatever
stupid,
we want to do,
right? Yeah. And then the ultimate
if our leader's
offense,
gonna get drunk, we have to get more drunk.
Exactly.
Like that's a challenge.
It is.
You have to one up,
right? It is. And then in the midst of that, they bring in the items of the Lord's temple, which is what you're talking about. And there's just so much there, but what has been set aside for God, what has been created for his presence, should not be used for anything else, period. That's what it comes down to. And this was an instance in chapter 5 where I mean, obviously God knew this was going to happen, but it was like, and we're done.
Yeah. But you've reached the threshold of your debauchery.
Yeah.
Well, I think we're downplaying how bad Babylon actually was.
Oh, yeah. Because we don't really know. Because we don't have a lot of evidence, really.
But. And we're comparing it to things that are inherently evil, like the Sodom and Gomorrah, and just how we treat marriage and people in general today. But like Babylon is like the measuring stick against which all debauchery and hedonism and self-promotion lie.
Right.
Like this is probably it, just in my experience with scripture, like this is probably the low point of human existence as far as any sort of civilization at that time goes.
At least their mind. They had like this elevated, as far as like, we'll call it technology. It wasn't really technology, but their ability to build and to use things of the earth to glorify themselves. But the depraved part of the mind was, it was like the height of that culture's abilities to create a nation. And then the lowest level of mind and debauchery. And so what an odd, well, when, and really it comes down to, and it's in the story, is pride. So, like, when you elevate your pride and you're consumed with yourself, there's only one way that that leads.
Well, and I think that's a, I mean, we are not living in a, we're not Babylon, but we are. Of, like, think about all of the technological advances and all of, all we have available to us in modern day and our pride, and look at business ethics. I mean, it's totally down the gutter. There's not many companies that are ethically sound and really morally right.
Yeah.
And so when you have that elevation of technology or I can't think of the word either, but like, you know, advanced, all the things,
advanced
systems. Or, yeah, yes. Innovation.
Yeah.
There you go. What our minds and our humanity does is the exact opposite of that. And so you're living in this like 100% and 0%, this binary thing, duality, not binary, but duality of life. And how do you bring that scale back?
Well, I'll use the example that's in the scripture to what you're talking about. Look at where immediately as they go to AI, it's turning into sexual immorality.
Mm-hmm.
There's already that part. And so the fleshly, when you feed your flesh whatever it desires, it will, you will destroy yourself.
How quickly it turns.
Exactly. Yeah, crazy. Well, Ange, keep going. What stood out to you on Sunday?
Yeah.
And kind of, yeah, give us your thought process.
Yeah, I really, I enjoyed how you closed the service with repentance. It was a really impactful thing for me. But looking in the audience, it was really, really amazing to see you flipped it. You know, everyone in my existence has described repentance as turning away from sin towards God. But the yes is what's important. And so if you say yes, you are repenting. You are turning away from that, but it's not the turning away from, it's turning towards.
Yeah.
And I think that has a freedom in a way.
Absolutely.
For so many people of like, I don't have to say no to all of the things that I love saying yes to.
Mm-hmm.
I need to say yes to the things that I'm being called to say yes to. And so I think those clarifiers help people's brains. Living for Christ is difficult. There's no lie.
Yeah.
It's difficult. But I think those types of markers that we've been taught our whole lives put us in a box and kind of put us in bondage. And those types of reframing statements are important for us and break God out of the box and also give us freedom to do the right thing easier, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Oh, well, there's joy in it. So if you
there's
understand
joy in doing the right thing and what you're called to do.
There's love and joy and peace in saying yes to God's way.
Versus condemnation and guilt and shame and you know, like
and you find that that's where you find freedom. And I think I said this on Sunday, but by de facto, you're saying no to something. So
absolutely.
whenever you say no to something, you're saying yes to something else. Or whenever you say yes to something, you're saying no to something else. And when we live a life saying yes to the Lord, by default, we are saying no to the bad things. And that was the point of what I was trying to make. If we could learn that and truly, it could truly inhabit us, that understanding, we would live with a level of peace and joy that we haven't yet experienced. And by default, we would be walking away. Like when you walk towards Jesus, you're going to be walking away from substance abuse. Mm-hmm. You're going to be walking away from pornography. You're going to be walking away from these things that are detrimental and harmful to you.
This is my theory, is keep your eyes on Jesus and all the other things start to fade away. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like Peter getting out of the boat. And when he looked at Jesus, he could walk through the storm.
Yeah.
But when he looked at the storm, it got bigger than Jesus. Mm-hmm. And so it's like you said, if I'm focused on saying no to all these things, that's what I'm focused on.
Right.
I'm focused on no, I can't do that. And it's the only thing you're thinking of. That's, and eventually you're going to say yes to it because that's what you're thinking about.
Yeah. I like Paul uses this phrase. I'm not going to quote it exactly perfect, but he says, you know, be filled with the Spirit and you won't gratify the desires of the flesh. So the reality is, like, if you can live in pursuit of the Holy Spirit and pleasing the Lord, you're kind of like feeding on that, and it's going to fill you rather than, and by default, you won't want to gratify those desires of the flesh. And then, like you're saying, over time of living that way, those vices that we have get weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker. And yeah, it's really powerful to be freed.
Well, I just want to speak to the importance of Daniel's perseverance through this whole time in Babylon, because this was something that Chris Hodges said at that Grow Leader conference, but like time spent in erodes awareness of.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And then he gave the example of like your car stinks, but you don't really notice it until you give someone a ride and they're like, man, your car stinks. Like, no, what are you talking about? No, it doesn't. Well, and it's the same thing.
It's an awesome example. Well, and totally accurate.
And it's the same thing about like the people you spend time with, the civilization that you spend the most time around. Like the longer you're there, it gets harder and harder to be against the culture mm-hmm. that you see.
Yeah.
So,
and that's what Daniel did so well. Yeah.
Yeah. Daniel's spent decades in Babylon now, mm-hmm. but he is still the same person that he was when he came in. Like he's not interested in gratifying the desires of the flesh. Like he wants to do what God has called him to do. He wants to call people up, be faithful to God, pray, lead people, prophesy, like walk in the gifts that God has given him. But there's not a good example for that for him. So he's doing it based on his will, his power, like his power that comes from God. And like, this is a great example. He is the one that we need to look to in this passage.
Pressing into that a little bit, he's offered the third rulership of the kingdom, totally at the top of everything. And so I've heard this so many times. Well, I need the influence in order to preach the gospel.
Good one.
I need the influence, and so I'm going to chase after this influence. And
winner, winner, chicken dinner.
You think Daniel, well, man, Daniel could be, he could be the Billy Graham of Babylon and all this. And he's like, I don't want that.
Yeah, because that's not the point.
Yeah. That's not what I want, but I'm going to tell you what God said anyways, because like you said, he's still chasing after God first and foremost above anything else in this culture. Yeah. And after mm-hmm. being there for 80 some years or whatever it is that he's been there, he's still not succumbed to the influence of power.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. I love he essentially at first doesn't receive the reward, right? He's like, I don't care about the gold chain. I don't care about the robe. Like, keep your stuff. He's more concerned on the movement of God mm-hmm. in that. And I love that you brought that up, because our society is sick with needing to be an influencer or to have influence or be famous so that I can serve God better or whatever, which is honestly is totally false. I'm just going to say it. Anybody who says that is blind and fooling mm-hmm. themselves. All they really want to do is use Jesus as a product to get famous.
I just want to be famous.
Yeah. And yep. so when God is working through regular, everyday people, wherever they're at, when they're willing to be utilized and used and spoken through and gifted for the moment in their own situation, well, in their own family, in their own workplace or
think
culture.
About the influence he had just yeah. because of what he did. And who did they call? Hey, yeah. there's this guy that's been around for generations and
call
he is the guy.
Yeah.
Well, he didn't have the influence that Belshazzar wanted to give him, yet he's still the one they called. And yeah. so,
and I think that's important to us today of like where our humility is when we are just the Joe Schmo off the street, when we just do us, we can stay aligned with God. I mean, yeah. it's hard in my life to stay aligned with God, but I can't imagine if I was a political figure, good luck staying to the straight and
well,
narrow.
And
good luck.
Let's
good luck
lean
with
into
that
for a second too, because actually real people, regular people have a greater impact.
Agreed.
I don't care how famous you are. I can't even think of a famous name. Don't really care, but I don't talk to them on a daily basis. They're not coming to Scotts Bluff, Nebraska.
Is the important piece,
yeah, yeah, exactly. Like that's a, if I did have an interaction with them, it'd be totally transactional. Transformational relationship comes from people right. like you can see, that is flesh and blood
actual
in front
life.
Of you that
yep.
actually lives the life that you live. You know, when somebody, I think about the power of testimony, when somebody that comes from dire circumstances meets Jesus and gets delivered, that's the person that's going to help somebody else in dire circumstances. The person in dire circumstances doesn't need to hear some famous, rich, influencing preacher really to be encouraged. They need to hear from somebody that's lived what they live.
Yeah, and you might get a, you know, a 50 cent piece of a a little gift of knowledge,
a little
nugget.
One-liner.
Yeah.
That sounds nice.
Super
yeah.
great that you hang on to, but what yeah. who's in the trenches with you and who's really doing life
yeah,
with
exactly.
you and who's pouring into you? Those are people in your life.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really important piece in this story is when you seek that that position of power, the pride and all of our sin nature comes out.
Yeah.
And it's hard enough as a normal person to fight that.
Just the fact
yeah.
that you're seeking it means that you're leading
prideful.
With
yeah.
your pride.
Totally.
And so you should be disqualified from it immediately. I mean, if you want to be healthy there,
yeah.
people get there and usually they're horrible when
yeah.
they get there. And so, and usually they, especially in the
and
Christian
then,
world, they do a lot of bad things along the way.
And also who's getting promoted of like the people that don't want to get promoted.
Right.
You know, their heart is for the institution that they're working for or,
right.
you know, in the church, their heart is in the right place. And those are the people typically that get promotions in my ideal,
and you
I would
know
say.
What? It doesn't matter if you ever get a promotion.
Yeah,
right.
Very
totally.
True. Good call.
There's no measure of importance to that.
Yeah.
Because for the 15 pastors that you see failing morally on a daily basis,
they were promoted.
No, well, not even that. For every one of those pastors that you see failing someone, there are 1,000
mm-hmm.
that have had such tremendous impact, who have never failed,
absolutely.
Who have stayed faithful
yeah,
in
totally.
Their marriages, who have preached
nobody
the word
knows
faithfully.
Who they are.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
yeah. And this was another quote from Chris Hodges I'm going to steal. You planes that landed safely
Ooh,
don't make
one.
The news.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Think, your influence
yeah.
doesn't matter. Sorry.
Yeah, yeah totally. Well, how about instead of trying to influence everybody else, why don't you just influence yourself well,
yeah,
influence
your
family well, influence your workplace well.
I think Jesus says something about that with a log
Weird.
And a
yeah,
speck.
Exactly.
I think there's a log and a speck thing there
I believe
going
so.
On. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I want to go back to Daniel for a second because like what you were saying that got us off on that tangent was his faithfulness. He only cared about pleasing the Lord and following the Lord. And he did get put in moments in power, but He was put there. He wasn't seeking that role.
Right.
He was seeking to please God. And so some people do get put in places of power or influence. And I will just say, and the Bible's really clear about this, you're going to be accountable on a higher level than everybody else. It's not something to be sought after. It's something to be humbled by when God exalts you to that. But the point is, back what you were saying, Jacob, is Daniel's faithfulness. It was always about pleasing the Lord and then being a representative of the Lord to the nation or the people around him. And that was so powerful. We were talking about this before we started the recording, but I'm thinking about Belshazzar. He's got a really... This is one little chapter in a very big book of books, yeah. And it doesn't go so well for him. And, you know, I was thinking about this, you know, in my own life. I grew up with some, I didn't grow up with them. They were around me, some rich kids, where their parents were never around. Their parents always gave them what they wanted, never what they needed. Their parents led these big businesses, which in this context, I would say were like kingdoms. They were like kings of their kingdom. And these kids, they were absolute spoiled brats. They had no character, no integrity. They always got what they wanted. And if they didn't, they knew how to throw a fit to get what they wanted.
Yeah.
And they oftentimes ended up taking places and positions of power by default, only to see it fall. And there's something about this story with Belshazzar that just reminds me of that. It just, I just think about it when I read this story. I'm like, okay, your grandfather most likely was Nebuchadnezzar. You grew up in this kingdom. Your grandfather was a narcissistic psychopath, dictator, ruler, that glorified himself. I could imagine that this Belshazzar was probably pretty messed up. And it's not a surprise that he ended up where he ended up. But what's interesting about the story is there's a part where Belshazzar says, you're that Daniel? Like the queen mother reintroduces Daniel and reminds Belshazzar who he is. And then Belshazzar is like, oh, you're that Daniel? But the point is, later on, Daniel says, you knew all of this. You saw the Lord move. You knew what was right, and you didn't do it. And therefore, here we are. You have been weighed and found wanting, and your kingdom is done. I think that's crazy. It's a crazy part of the story. And I want to remind people, a lot of times in Bible passages, there's a lot of detail left out. The point of writing this down was the principle and the summarization of what happened for documentation purposes. It's not to have all the detail, so there's a lot of detail we don't know. But we do know that it was written in Aramaic, so it was actually written for Gentiles to read. Like, it was written in the most common language. And so I just think about, wow, this was not only history, but a warning to them of, hey, you should know that there's one true God, and he's the God of the Israelites. And even I think about in chapter 4, Nebuchadnezzar's testimony chapter, he says that as well. And I believe, you know, he often quotes lines from most likely from Daniel, because in this chapter 4, for example, he says this quote in verse 3, which is set aside as probably most likely a song or a hymn or something that says, how great are his signs, how mighty his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion endures from generation to generation. Like, what's cool is God was being declared, the living God was being declared in the midst of Gentiles, even in that time, which I think is amazing.
I want to go back to your, let's talk about Belshazzar and having everything that he ever wanted, growing up as a prince, shall we say, and the kids that you were around. And I've seen the same thing in my own life, especially as an adult. I can look now and see kids and go, you have no idea how to handle the things you have. And that's where we're at and where they're at. When you get everything that you want, but nothing that you need, you don't learn how to steward it. You don't know how to honor that. You don't know how to appreciate it.
Yeah.
And so you just become this gimme, 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 gimme. Yep. And the more stuff you have, the easier it is actually to fall if you have no character built around the stuff that you have.
Exactly.
And so you look at that in the walk with Christ. A lot of times God says not yet or no,
yes,
or just wait for it. It's coming. You know, you see these, you have people that have things prophesied over them, and it could be 30 years before they see any right type of results for what they, well, God told me this, but I don't see it. Well, you're not ready.
Right.
I know in my own life, there's so many times they say, God, I'm ready for this. God, I'm ready for this. And I'd start chasing it and thank the Lord. Thank you. He's like, no, you're not. And no, I'm not going to open that door.
You yeah just want it. You're not ready for it.
I'm not ready. And even 10 years down the road, I go, yeah, I'm not ready. And yeah, I can realize that. But if I'd have had it at that point, the fall would have been great.
Oh, squandered. Yeah. I can testify to that totally myself. And I've had a lot of wrestles with God on like that feeling of withholding, with like, well, you're withholding something from me. I mean, it could be something in a spiritual sense, like the gifts of the Holy Spirit, right? People are always like, I'm seeking this, and I'm not getting it. Well, keep seeking, because in the seeking, you are actually maturing in a way that you might actually be able to handle that gift.
And my experience, here's my experience, look in the mirror. What is it that he's trying to show you that you're not ready to handle what he wants to give you?
Right.
He's a good father. And so what does he want to give you that you're not ready for? I'm not going to give my 12-year-old, 13, 14-year-old daughter my car.
Right.
Why?
Right.
Because she'll wreck it.
Right.
She's not yeah ready for it, even though she tells me she's the best driver in the world. I'm like, you have no idea.
On video right games, no, you're the best idea driver in the world. Score.
But you will be if you go through the process.
Exactly.
And so, it, you know, the withholding. You're withholding from me. It's entitlement. You right owe me.
Yeah.
You
there's
owe
pride.
Me. That's and
pride.
That's pride again. And yeah, that's pride again.
Yeah. Well, exactly. And that reality can be turned into a metaphor that can be applied to a lot of things, because we live in a culture that wants to sidestep any sort of process. We want it instantly. And there are things in our culture that you can get instantly that are, and when you do, it usually ends up being horrible and destroying you. And
that's what our culture is moving towards, though. Like
right,
everything is instant gratification. There well, is no, you know, I mean,
that's why we're Babylon.
I know,
we're still
I mean,
Babylon.
Just, yeah. Like, it's just, we're like diving deep fast
yeah
into the right now, right now.
Well, we'll go
like
back
time
to
is
like
literally imploding on itself.
Yeah, we'll
in
go
this
back
regard
to technology and AI and all this. What is the whole point? Well, it's to have things quicker, faster, with less work. Mm. That's the whole point of it. You don't have to think. You don't have to move. You don't have to do. It's all going to be done for you.
Wally.
Yeah. Well, no, exactly.
It's
and
true,
that's
though
not what we're made no for.
Well, and even with the influence part of it. The influence, I can remember growing up back in the day, let's just talk about music. You used to actually have to go through the process of having a band, going through record companies, getting on the ground and feet on the ground and
yep
going and performing and making sure that people even liked you.
Yeah, play
before
every
they'd
night
even
all
hear
over
you.
Right. Hard work. It was hard work.
And now every 4-year-old kid has a YouTube channel that is some quote unquote influencer
right
who makes it big in this circle of people that just happened to find your video because
right
you pushed it so hard. Like there's no even character built around influencing.
No vetting process. Yeah.
No character built. And it's just, if my opinion sounds good to enough people, they're going to be my influencers for my influence
yeah
to create this weird circle of influence that has no basis of character.
Yeah. Well, so you know, this whole conversation brings me back to Israel, because people often look at the Old Testament, they look at Exodus, Leviticus, and they go, wow, what a controlling God that has all these rules. He was protecting them, setting them apart, teaching them how to live healthily
mercy
in an unhealthy way. It's actually mercy and grace and health. And in the same way today, the things that God is asking us to do, people have the same attitude about, oh, it's just, it's all full of rules and it's all just to keep me from the things that I want. And God's just going, man, could there be people that could just love me and listen so they can experience the blessing of what happens when you walk in obedience and being set apart? And so this goes back to this whole series is like, we are in a modern day Babylon. When you look around, this is what I talked about on Sunday. Look at a dollar bill. Look at the artwork on a dollar bill. Look at our buildings. When you really have your eyes open, you start to look around, you see all the influence from these past kings and kingdoms and what we've built. And America has this really bad habit of really like slapping a Christian sticker on it. Which it's
in
not.
God we trust.
Yeah, in God. Yeah, it's like, oh, okay, put a pyramid there with a quote eye of God, and then put in God we trust. Yeah, which God are you talking about? I don't think you're really talking about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But anyways, moving on. This is the reality, and we have to wake up to this because Jesus says it. Paul talks about it. We're called to be in the world and not of the world. There are things about us that should look different. We should sound different. We should act different. We should have different character. We should be light and salt to the world around us. And more, that's not happening. And I know every culture experiences this. The reality is like this is a cycle from those days until now. And the point is, where's our Daniels? Like, we need a nation. We need Daniels in this time. Whoever you are, that heart of Daniel, the heart to serve the Lord, to please the Lord, and to be that shining example, proclaiming the Lord's goodness in the culture. We need to be that.
So I'm going to bring some New Testament in here. Jesus, you know, this is probably the most misunderstood or not even understood or name it, claim it verse that there is Jesus says, I'm going to do even greater things than him. Okay, he does. But I don't think that means bigger miracles, bigger signs and wonders, bigger. It means that there's more of us.
Yeah,
with his spirit in us who can go and do the same things that he did and be that
all
influence
over the world.
in the world.
All over the world.
And so imagine that if we all had the mindset that I can be Daniel because I actually have the power of God living in me to go and influence my school board, my city council, my police departments and their justice and upholding the law. I can influence those around me that are corrupt in business. I can stand for, I mean, you just go down the list.
Yeah. I can raise my family well and love my wife.
Yeah. And I don't have to rely on somebody else teaching them the gospel because I know the gospel.
Because I know I taught them.
Right. And so what would happen? That's greater because instead of one influencing the 12, it's one influencing 12 and one influencing 12 and one influencing 12. And then that just goes out and you stand against the darkness and become a wave of light together, unified in the body of Christ.
And I'll add to that. And what if you're all walking in the gifts of the Holy Spirit?
And yes.
Yeah. So you're walking, you're going around, you're prophesying, you're praying over the sick for divine healing. You're doing all the things that Jesus did. But now instead of Jesus and the 12, you've got a world full of followers of Messiah doing the works he did. I mean, it would change everything. That's why we're Christians standing here today is because people did that. And we need to continue doing that well because we have no excuse. I think about this. We have more information than any generation in history has had, and we're so stupid. Like how it just proves that information does not equal knowledge.
Knowledge puffs up.
Yeah.
But wisdom is what is from God.
And wisdom comes from the fear of the Lord. And it's funny how there's more Bibles around than ever before. And
I can access 10 of them on my phone.
Yeah. Right. And yet, you can walk around every human being with a phone right now can walk around with a Bible in their pocket on their phone and yet we're more biblically, I'll call it illiterate, than ever before. Like, everybody has the Bible, people can read it, and yet people don't understand it. So we need a move. We need a move of God. We need that to change. And that can really only happen by the power of the Holy Spirit, but it takes willing hearts and people willing to say yes. This goes back to repentance, living a life in keeping with repentance and giving Him our yes daily. And then by default, that says no to all these other things, but saying, giving our yes continues to bring us on this journey where we are cultivated in character and integrity, and then He can entrust us with gifts of the Holy Spirit. He can put us through doors and elevated positions because we actually earn the character to steward it well.
It gets rid of pride.
Yep. Yeah. And I think another aspect of this is doing, being unique to who God created you to be.
Yeah.
When you say yes to the things God is calling you to do, you're not doing what society tells you to do or what the book tells you to do or whatever. You are specifically getting downloaded instructions from God. From the cloud. Exactly. What you're to do.
Yeah.
And I think that's where we have it so messed up in our world today, is we're all trying to be that big influencer or someone else, or trumping somebody else's Instagram, la la, whatever. Like, do what God is calling you to do. Say yes to who God has called you to be. Continue to refine your character. He's created you exactly who He created you to be.
Yeah.
It needs refining, and you're the only one that can do and impact the people that you can impact. So I want to
close with a challenge today, because if you want influence, or if you come to church and you see somebody on the stage preaching and you're like, I want to do that, but then you can't pick up one piece of trash walking into the building, you're not going to be on that stage.
That's
like, if you can't align a chair on the way in, or if you can't see anything else but that stage, you're not going to end up on the stage. Like, how about look around, help somebody open the door for them. If you can't open the door for your fellow believer, if you can't give somebody a ride to church on Sunday, like, there's a lot of things that need to happen that build character before you have any sort of opportunity or influence on the stage. Like, embrace those opportunities to grow with the Lord so that He can work through you in greater ways.
Well, what did Jesus say is the key to becoming exalted? Be humble.
Humble yourself. Therefore. Yeah. That's awesome. I'm going to pray today. And awesome time, everyone. Thank you for listening. May God bless you and keep you. May God cause His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may He give you peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We'll see you next week.
Amen.